You're listening to RTE Lyric Live from New Music Dublin.
County Down-born Ed Bennett, welcome to RTE Lyric Live. It's a great pleasure to have you on the programme tonight. And the fact, actually, that you've taken the time out, because a little later on we're going to hear the world premiere of your piano concerto. I'm going to ask about that in time, but you're very well known for large-scale orchestral works. Well, in fact, every kind of work, when you think about it, really, as well as solo works, electronic music, opera, works for dance and film, you name it. But what I think is very interesting about you is when you read about you, one of the first things you read is that you talk about musical accidents and stark contrasts and the freshness of improvisation. In other words, that striving for perfection actually bores you.
Well, I think I might have said that quite a while ago, and it might have been it might have been quite a hopeful comment in a way. I think over time I've realised that I am actually a bit of a perfectionist. I do work with improvisers in other contexts, not in this piece, but the concert on Friday night, there's another concert with my work in it, and that does include improvisers, actually. But this piece is fully scored as it is in a traditional manner, you know.
Right, so in other words, you like a mixture of surprise as well?
Yeah, I think it's just trying different approaches, you know, allowing sometimes for that sort of spontaneity to be there. And at other times I want to be very specific, you know, and I have a sort of much more clear sense of what I want from the outset, you know. So, yeah.
Well, we know that you perform with your own ensemble Decibel as well. But tonight you've written this work with the pianist Zania Pestova Bennett joining you.
Yeah.
So this is a musician you know well.
Yes, Zania is indeed my partner in life as well as a partner in music, so this is quite a special piece in that sense. And to write a piece for you know your partner is of this scale is quite unusual, I suppose, these days.
I'm wondering, but, do you get enough space actually between the two of you for you to be able for there to be an element of surprise, actually, because you have presumably very good access to the material if you want it.
Yeah, I mean, the interesting thing about being, you know, married to an amazing pianist is that, you know, I'm not an amazing pianist, you know. I'm sort of, it's functional for me. It helps me to write, but, you know, and I can play many of the things I write, but only at a slow speed or, you know, I use it more as a tool for composing. And I suppose what that means is, on the one hand, I hear Zania practicing frequently and I hear all these wonderful things that she's doing, you know, from the other side of the house. And, you know, and I hear them, but I don't always necessarily know what she's doing technically or things like that. And, you know, when I write myself, I really just think about like what I want in the music, what I'm trying to convey in the music. And at a certain point, I'll bring that to her and I'll say, okay, this is the thing that that I'm doing.
Would you say there's been a particularly strong element of collaboration here, or no different from any other association?
I think there's definitely collaboration in that, you know, I will bring her material as it goes along. So this work is in three parts in a sort of fairly traditional manner. It's in three sections. And I'll, you know, get her a big chunk of it and say, you know, have a look at this, see how it fits under the fingers. And she'll give me feedback on that, you know, and that's great for a composer, obviously, because I want it to be something that is playable and enjoyable to play, in fact, but I want it to be challenging as well. It is a concerto in this case. So it's a luxury in a way to have that sort of feedback quite instantly, you know, for a composer, and it means I sort of really get to know what's possible, you know.
You know, I think we might assume in circumstances like that there are, and in fact, not just in connection to this particular work, but working together generally, there'd be plenty of opportunity for that, but maybe not.
Not always, you know, because often when you do a new work, a new commission, you know, often people live in countries. Musicians are always all over the place, you know. Often time is limited, maybe. People have busy concert schedules, etc. And obviously the pace of work, like some composers work pace that they work at might be very regular in how they produce work, but for some people it's a whole build up of, you know, the idea of forming, and then the piece actually goes down on paper quite quickly. For me, I think it's quite regular. So having that regular opportunity to show that work to the performer as it's going along, for me, it feels like an advantage, you know.
Going back to the piano concerto, tonight's piano concerto, can you tell us a little bit more about it in detail, the structure of this work?
The title Concerto for Piano, Keyboards and Orchestra is quite an abstract title for me. I normally have something more specific. And really, the piece I wanted to be just about the music this time. I didn't want to sort of put ideas into people's heads. So I wanted to leave it very open to create a world for people, a sonic world for people to enter and just find their own way through that and have their own stories through that and experience the music in that sense. So quite abstract in that sense. But I suppose the interesting things maybe about the piece are that it's not strictly a piano concerto, in that the pianist plays multiple keyboards. So Xenia is playing the big piano, the grand piano as we know it, but she's also playing a toy piano at certain points.
This is one of her things, one of the special things for which she's particularly noted.
Yeah, she's developed a lot of repertoire for it. A lot of composers have written pieces for her over the years for this little instrument, which is great in a way because it's very portable and you can bring it to spaces that don't have a grand piano or a real piano. But also it's sort of surreal as well. You have the big Steinway or whatever sitting there, and then you have this tiny little, you know, child's instrument, which is what it was originally, sitting beside it. And so I'm sort of playing with those two things, the sort of, in a way, sort of playing with the seriousness of the piano concerto as this big historical, you know, beast that we all sort of know and love, and then sort of, you know, not poking fun at it, but just sort of questioning slightly the idea of it, and just where she suddenly moved to this tiny little toy piano. And also there's a keyboard in the on the orchestra as well. And she, what's happening with that is it's detuned, so it's a quarter tone flatter than the real piano, and it's played at the same time as the piano, so you get this strange sort of tuning effect in the orchestra as well. So the music moves between the real piano to the piano with the detuned parts to the toy piano and then back to the piano. So that's the kind of, if there was a narrative, a musical narrative through the work, that kind of guides it in a way.
It's an intriguing paradox. Ed, are you sure there's only one pianist involved here?
There is only one pianist, and fortunately she can cope with all these little this little assault course I've set up. So that's kind of what's going on. And it's in three movements, which is quite traditional, I suppose. But, you know, and each one, as I say, moves between these different ways of playing in different sound worlds. So that's really what's going on in the piece. And those little sonic changes I've made with the keyboards were just my way of maybe trying to take a different approach to the idea of the traditional piano concerto, you know.
mentioned there about, location where musicians, composers happen to be. Seems the lot of a composer, if you're fortunate enough, to be in so many places. Sometimes you have to be in more than one place at the same time. And you've lived in Paris, Berlin, London. Where are you based for most of the time?
Well, I'm kind of between London and Bangor, County Down. So I teach at the Royal College of Music in London, and I lived in London for many years. But some years ago, we relocated back, and I kind of go back and forth, you know. But as of from last week, I'm just back because we were in Germany for a year because I was on a residency there where I wrote this piece, and I was working there for a year. So musicians do get around, composers get around, and in a way, if we want our work to be heard, we have to be a little bit international, you know, because, we have to be able to do that, you know.
So, I was going to say it. I imagine that the more experience of that kind that you have working with musicians internationally in different environments, different places, that obviously is bound to play an important part in what you produce at the end of the day.
Yeah, absolutely, I mean, meeting different people, hearing different musics in different countries, different approaches, you know, different stylistic things, different preferences, seeing different performances, you know, it all feeds into what you do, you know. So
is there any particular place you particularly enjoy?
I've always enjoyed actually the Netherlands, you know, Amsterdam. I have quite a strong connection with that country and tend to work there quite a bit. That's sort of formed over the years, so I feel quite a strong connection to that. A little bit with Germany too. Ireland, of course. I mean, I do a lot in Ireland, but, you know, beyond that, the Netherlands and Germany. And, you know, obviously I've lived in London for years, so I've done quite a bit of stuff there as well. So,
and you're obviously no stranger to festivals such as this, New Music Dublin. Now, back in 2017, I think you were involved with the festival as well that particular year. But how important are events of this kind for a composer such as yourself?
Yeah, well, I think they're very important, you know, because they place a spotlight on the work that we do on a bigger scale, I suppose, tend to get a bit more attention. And the good thing about New Music Dublin is it tends to represent quite a broad spectrum of Irish composition. And it features a lot of Irish composers as well as international composers, whereas some festivals, I think, don't necessarily focus so much on composers from the country they're in. And I think it's got a good sort of split between representing what's going on the island and what's going on internationally. So I think that's really important, and really important for audiences to get a chance to hear that, you know, and hear the diversity of what's going on.
Yeah, it's the secret really of the alchemy that lies behind these events, isn't it? Some are just so interesting and intriguing from the very beginning.
Yeah, and, you know, and I suppose in a sort of conventional concerts, maybe orchestral concerts particularly, you might, you know, if you're lucky, you get one contemporary piece in there, so you're getting a kind of snapshot maybe of that composer, whereas a festival like this gives you a broader perspective of what's going on today with new music, you know. So that can be really, really insightful for an audience, especially, you know.
And tell me, Ed, do you, on an occasion like this, it's probably not fair to ask you this right at the minute, but nevertheless, do you get nervous about, I mean, this is a world premiere this evening.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, you do your best to make sure everything is right and it's going to work. But music's a living thing, you know, and it's not, I always think the piece doesn't really exist till it's in the room, you know, till musicians are playing it. And it's sort of still conceptual at that stage before that. So, I mean, it's a wonderful experience, you know, to go in with an orchestra and a soloist and a conductor and hear it come to life. And naturally you're nervous. It's a kind of nervous excitement. And it should be like that, you know, you've put a lot into it. So you want it to go well. And it's only natural that something you care about, you know, you're going to be a bit a bit nervous about it. But, you know, it's a bit like when you're a kid at Christmas, you know, and you're excited about Christmas, you know, and you can't sleep. It can be a bit like that as well.
Also, I imagine in this case, it's a nervous energy that you can share with your partner. So that's a burden shared, definitely.
Yeah, well, that can be good and bad.
Don't take your work home with you. Ed, what's coming up next?
I'm just recovering from this, but I'm doing, yeah, I have a few projects lined up, working with Bang on a Can All Stars, who are a group from New York. I'll be working on a project with them next year, which is still, well, I haven't started it yet, so that's on the table at the minute. And I'm working with the Irish singer Michelle O'Rourke on a large-scale work for Voices, which will be premiered in January 2020. Six, I believe. So yeah, those are things I'm just getting my teeth into now, because as I say, I've just finished this only last month, actually, this new concerto, and as well as another big piece that was played on Friday at the festival. So yeah, there's plenty going on, thankfully, so it's all good.
Well, Ed, thanks for sharing you know, so much of the insight into what you do, of course, and also what we can expect tonight. Really very grateful that you took time out, and all best wishes for the performance this evening and for everything that's coming. It's been a pleasure to talk to you.
Thanks very much, Paul. You too.
You're listening to RTE Lyric Live from New Music Dublin.